What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is November 10th, 2021. It's Fightful. It's the post-AEW Dynamite podcast. Leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Listing your boy today, one of the most noteworthy we've ever done. All the latest on the Xavier Woods story that we broke this week. And boy, is that a doozy. You can read more on that. Not just on Listing Your Boy, which covered the releases, backstage attitude problems, et cetera, et cetera. But we're breaking news every day on FightfulSelect.com. Every day there will be an exclusive piece of news over there. Every day there's a podcast. FightfulSelect.com is the most direct way to support us. It's $5 a month, 16 cents a day. But you know what? If you're like, God, you know what? I want to give them some more money. I want to pay them more. FightfulMag.com. We've got a physical and digital magazine this month. Hear from Shaza McKenzie. Hear from Taylor Hendricks. Beautiful tribute to Daphne. Also hear from Dominic Mysterio. I interviewed him. Tons of other cool stuff in FightfulMag.com. This weekend, I am on the scene, Minnesota, watching this wonderful woman wrestle. Thunder Rosa popping up in the chat. Shout out to her. You know what? I'll plug her vlog right now because it kicks ass. It's really good. We're going to, my wife and I are going to take her to eat tacos in Lexington whenever she somehow ends up in Lexington, Kentucky. But make sure you check that out as well. I'll be there this weekend doing the scrums, doing lots of coverage. We've got tons of podcasts between The Distraction, Grapsody, the post-AEW show. There's a lot going on. I dropped an interview with Switchblade Jay White yesterday. I haven't even mentioned that. I got an AEW interview on Friday with Ethan Page. Jeez, guys. We've got Alex Pawlowski here. We've got Robert DeFelice here. Alex, how you doing? One day you'll learn to hit time cues.
Well, one day. I really was hoping to get closer to 2 hours every week until we actually hit it. But we had a bit of a setback last night. There were three full songs requested to be sung as either William Regal or Tony D'Angelo. They paid us money, Sean. I got to do what the people want.
If we get Tony B versus Tony D, WrestleMania main event sponsored by Jimmy's Johns. That's what I'm here for.
Absolutely.
I'm also here for all you wonderful people. Leave a thumbs up. You can donate a super chat on YouTube, but what we encourage are humper chats. That's right. When we say a match humps, we mean a match humps, especially here on Hump Day. And we have registered the domains Humper Chat and HumperChats.com. Now, admittedly, 20 years ago, that probably means something way different.
Yeah.
Probably means something way different. But we encourage you to donate Humper Chats over on Streamlabs. It means an awful lot to us. You can support us directly and get your question or statement read on the air. We've got Bobo DeFelice, who I will thank ahead of time because they always put in work on these AEW weekends, especially.
Yeah, you know what, though? They're my favorite weekends because AEW is actually really good. So that's what makes this fun. And I'm really excited.
Bad one, Jambeard says, what does Tony D think of Thunder Rosa?
Well, actually, you know, she's one of my favorite, what do you call them, female wrestlers. I'm not sure what is the proper way, women's wrestlers, lady wrestlers. But seriously. Her match with Britt Baker last year, with the freaking blood all over the place, it was one of my favorite matches of the year. Gobble gore, it's so fantastic.
Legitimately, thumbs up to Thunder Rosa. I'm sure she just swung by to say hi, but doing great with her vlogs. And you know what? Literally anytime we're in the same city, I'm going to try to interview her. There's always something to talk about. We've already got one scheduled in a few weeks, but you know what? If I run into her in a hallway and have a phone in my hand, I'll be like, let's do an interview for 2.5 minutes. So keep those super chats and humper chats rolling in. I love me some Sova says, shut up and take my money. Now that's how you do a go home show. I'm so excited for Full Gear this weekend. Stay awesome, guys. Yep. This was Alex, even before you popped in, I said, man, that was a hell of a wrestling show. And it was one hell of a wrestling show. Brendan says Rosa pops her nuts, and not just saying that because she's in the chat. It's a fact. I mean, it is. I sort of tongue in cheek, but seriously, type every time the Thunder Rosa pop with a little TM. Mm. It even worked on YouTube.
Yeah,
like she ran in.
She got a pop,
and got a pop. So we've got Alicia saying, "Thanks for the Switchblade interview, Sean. You spoil us." Man, I was so happy. I don't care if it was in character. I don't care if he was surly. I don't give a damn. You get an opportunity to interview Switchblade. Boy, was I happy about that. That was a good one. And he cleared up a lot of stuff. There were a lot of people that thought he was on a 7-year contract. As Fightful Select reported, he wasn't. He straight up said, yes, WWE was interested in me. No, I've never had a talk with AEW. Go check that out. We've got Kyline Pedlar saying, at this rate, the Acclaimed are going to be facing Ishii and Okada at the buy-in. Well, not really, because our interview with Switchblade Jay White, Allie for the Ruckus, that was to promote Battle in the Valley this Saturday, November 13th. So I hope you guys also check that out. That's how I was able to speak to Switchblade Jay White. Big thank you to New Japan for making that happen. It means an awful lot to me. We've also got Brendan saying that was an awesome show. 2 hours flew by. It really did, Robert. Like the incredible in-ring wrestling just made this fly by.
Yeah, when you start with Bryan Danielson having a killer match and end with a contract signing that makes you more excited for a match you're already excited to see, these shows are just perfectly flowing. And I know they won't last forever, but AEW is on a run that is almost untouchable right now.
Zach Schimmel says, AEW has made me love pro wrestling more than I ever have. AEW is the best wrestling company. I'm with Alex. I hate sports entertainment. Love to everyone at Fightful. Thank you for everything you do. Can't wait for Rampage in full gear. I mean, I think the beautiful thing about pro wrestling is there is a company for almost anything Absolutely. That you want. Now, I do hate that Ring of Honor is going away, but I think Ring of Honor is about to resemble GCW more than it is the current Ring of Honor. And I don't know if from a content standpoint that that's a bad thing. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing. And how about this? Those two companies I mentioned, I'm going to report some news on them this weekend on FightfulSelect.com. So subscribe. Father Lasagna says, I typed in humperchats.com into my browser, yet none of you are the sexy MILFs in my area. Oh, man. Jesus Christ. And Jambeard said that Dynamite humped 5 out of 5. Well, let's get right into it. So I watched this show with a loved one who does not watch a lot of wrestling, and they said, I love that AEW jumps right into a match.
Yep.
And so do I. Robert, if you're gonna be what WWE isn't, go ahead and be what they aren't. And Rocky Romero, the true Forbidden Door, is the way to do that.
Yeah, I watch this show with a friend every week, and I turned to him and I said, you know, I just realized they never do the 20-minute promo, and they have completely broken that trope, and it's amazing. And then Rocky Romero and Bryan Danielson have a killer match, and Bryan looks as good as he ever has. Yeah. I don't know if that's just the motivation, but he went from saying, you know, I walked out of WrestleMania thinking I might die in the ring and I'm just not feeling it, and now he just seems so alive. And this match was absolutely awesome, with a gnarly set of submissions from both guys, but that tequila sunrise at the end, man, oof, that was gross.
Alex, I loved playing off the history of them training together in 2002. Also, I want to encourage you guys to check out Bryan Danielson's interview with Ariel Helwani today. Oh my gosh. So anybody that's watched me for the last few years knows I'm a dork for the MMA wrestling crossover. And it's like, Bryan Danielson has trained MMA for 20 years. He roomed with Lyoto Machida at the LA Dojo. Like, one of my favorite excerpts of his book was talking about how it was he, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Lyoto Machida. And Nakamura and Machida, like, spoke just enough English to not like one another in that house. You want to talk about a testosterone-filled house full of competitors. Man, and we got to hear a lot of that on that interview today. We're getting to hear a lot more out of Brian, who has long been one of the most honest people, not just in his interviews, but he was honest about his in-ring work, Alex. Today he said, I could sleepwalk through my WWE matches, and I can't do that in AEW. He's not going to shill for them like that. He's always been brutally honest. I thought this was a good example. In WWE, this would have been a good match. In AEW, it was a great match, I thought.
Oh, yeah. No, they let him absolutely go, you know, all out. Like it's this thing that we watch. There's a certain brand of in-ring storytelling that is exclusive to AEW, in my opinion. It is the fact that, like, we are going to tell a story with a beginning, middle, and end, and a bunch of callbacks. Like, all the whole thing of Romero trying to sink in that cross arm breaker over and over and over again, and Brian always being able to lock his arms, not be able to do it. And when he finally did it, you could tell Brian was pissed at himself for not seeing that was coming. And then he was like, how can I get out of this? And he had immediately, you watch Brian Danielson in the ring and you can see him working like the hamster wheel turning as he figures out what's the best counter out of this. Like it's so great. And I what I also love, little touch, the commentators telling you the history between the two people and not denying the history exists. Like yes. Saying, hey, these guys in 2004 has this amazing match. Like this kind of stuff that I was like, oh, well, mental note, I'm going to go see if I can check that out. Also, it's good to know that history exists because it makes what I'm watching feel more important as opposed to never mentioning that these two guys, yes. Hey, faced each other for the NXT title at one point. Now they're facing each other on the main roster. Never mentioning that, you know?
Loved this match. Absolutely loved it. Joker 2258 had to make sure you get those numbers right. Says, seems like AEW is doing a lot of groundwork to get the audience familiar with New Japan stars during the show. Possible start of seed sowing for a future invasion. Okada, Ibushi remark, etc.
Here's what I like about this.
Go ahead, sorry.
These people are obsessed with like invasions in wrestling, and AEW doesn't do that. They just say, hey, we're going to work with these people, and they're from New Japan, and they're going to come in, and they're going to have a match, and they're great.
Yeah, you don't need to do an invasion.
You don't need it.
Now, I mean, I think an invasion is like when you have at best served in wrestling when you have acquired those assets. Now, you could never tell that based on what happened with WCW and ECW, but that's how I feel it works best. That way you can kind of control it. There's not as much of a conflict of interest, so to speak, in that regard, but yeah, they've done really well at that. And before this show, we had Rocky Romero approaching Best Friends. And I mean, like, he approached Wheeler Yuta and Chris Statlander as well and said, talked it over with Okada. I want you all in chaos. And Chuck Taylor was like, I'm already in it. Wheeler Yuta is barely in Best Friends. Orange Cassidy said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And Chris Statlander is like, what good will that do me? I loved this segment as well. Alex, did you happen to catch this before?
I did. I saw it real quickly. And I went, like Wheeler Yuta being barely in Best Friends. Wheeler Yuta, by the end, was barely of this earth. By the end of tonight, he was barely conscious.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Barely alive. Yeah, it's so great.
Oh, this was really good stuff. Robert, this is harmless. This is good stuff, I thought.
Good stuff, and the seeds were sown with Tony Khan on Busted Open saying that, you know, we would learn more about Orange Cassidy potentially in Chaos, and immediately I got a text message saying, is Okada showing up tonight? And that's not what happened, but I think what happened was even more fun.
Well, I don't know if it's more fun than Okada showing up, but, you know. Yeah.
Lighthearted
to
fun.
To each their own. ShotKid29 said, Best Friends joining Chaos, Hangman teasing Ibushi. Please tell me this isn't just to mess with us. Whether it is or not, I like that a company acknowledges other companies. Positively, negatively, it's all mixed. Like, not all of the WWE references are negative on this show. Not all the New Japan references are positive or negative on this show, and I appreciate that.
AEW doesn't usually mess with us, but I wouldn't expect to see the New Japan stuff happen like on Saturday.
Reminder, guys, get your Humper Chats in at humperchats.com. You can also donate on YouTube to get your question or statement read on the air. But we do encourage you to go to humperchats.com, our Streamlabs platform. Also, please leave a thumbs up on this video. It goes a long way. Fallob says, obviously, Brian Danielson is afraid of doing the label lock and the knee now that Kenta is back in the country. That's why we saw the tequila sunrise. Well, we also see it because the producers and coaches there don't really give a shit what he uses to finish a match with.
Yep.
And he is like, you know what? I think I'll go the Jonathan Gresham route and just finish somebody with something different every time to show you that I can, to make this match more of unpredictable. To me, I think his finisher is holding people by the arms and stomping them out, because that's what usually precedes it. And by then, whoever he's facing is like, all right!
The only reason they're not tapping out to that is because he's holding their arms.
Yes. Oh, man. Glennie says, love the beards for No Shave November. Keep it up, guys. Well, I mean, I trim mine a little bit, but I mean, we just usually have beards anyway.
It's kind of the uniform for podcasters.
Yep.
Hollywood Jackson says, I love the fact that you have Humper Chats now. I'm from the Caribbean and Super Chats aren't available here. Huge crush on Denise. Sorry for that, Hollywood Jackson. Have a crush on that. Broad? Can't be me. I told her she needs to monetize that. I was like, you need to own it, monetize it, and shame anybody else who uses it. But he says, but I guess Alex Pretty Boy Palowski will have to do. What? You're talking about that broad there?
That's not what I was expecting today.
Oh, that broad Alex Palowski? No way.
Yep.
No wonder WWE hasn't hired him.
That's me.
The Humper Chats guys, by the way, not to tout these, but, you know, we're pushing them. If you're not there live, you can leave them. If you're like, you can't tune into the show live, you can leave it for us and we'll catch it later. So that's another benefit. Really, really glad you guys are enjoying this. White Trash Tyler says, hey, guys, really enjoyed Dynamite tonight. Still wondering if we'll see any of the ROH talent debut at Full Gear. Or do they let the wrestling do their talking this time around? I'm headed to Minnesota on Friday and couldn't be happier. I haven't asked. I have spoken to like probably a dozen ROH wrestlers so far. I would be surprised if we saw any at Full Gear because they still have Final Battle.
Yeah. Right.
And I'm sure the people that worked at Ring of Honor were happy there. They were happy there. Like, make no mistake, ROH was good to their talent until this happened. Over the last couple of years. So I'd be surprised. But after that, I think it's like the New Year's show they're doing, I think it's fair game.
Yeah.
Volob says, rocking double monitors for Full Gear and Battle in the Valley. A good thing Battle in the Valley is a West Coast start time. Hopefully main events won't overlap. I can't wait to watch Battle in the Valley. Alicia Ellis says, do you guys expect any surprises at Full Gear? What do y'all think?
You know, for the first time, I was thinking about it, and I thought, they don't really need them. No. They really don't. I mean, you could always get one, and nobody's going to complain if there was a major surprise, but they don't really need it.
You'd have to space it right, because I feel like the end of the show is usually where you do the big surprise, and that's not necessary, and in fact would take away from the end of this amazing build you've been doing for two-plus years what we assume is Hangman defeating Omega. Maybe you could figure out a way to do like a middle of the show big reveal or debut or a big turn, maybe. Yes. But I don't think it's necessary in the show.
Brendan, trying to get banned from our chat, says Tony D getting his face kicked in by Brian Danielson, please. Brendan, what are you doing, my man? I'm walking here. I love me some Sova says, you don't like this label lock? Take a tequila sunrise instead. Very nice transition. It looked like Rocky Romero very much was like, yeah, ow.
We're not doing this. I'm done.
Oh, I loved it. Mark says, AEW has demonstrated they don't tease things they don't intend to deliver on at some point. If you think people went crazy for Kaze ni Nare, imagine the noise when Okada's coin noise hits. Oh, God. That would Boy, that's next level.
I mean, I don't see Kenny. I don't think anybody with eyes sees Kenny beating Hangman. But if he was to beat Hangman, hearing the coin drop would be the way to get the pop.
So we've got Ryan, or it's, I always keep on calling him Ryan B. Jam, and I will here and there because that's what I knew him as. He says, they are now Chaos friends. Poor Yuta, RIP. So Yuta gets his ass whipped by Wardlow, and I just want to Barry Horowitz pat myself on the back here, because I, unlike most people, watch everything. Sadly, I watch everything. I can tell you what feuds aren't happening on main event that a bunch of you pretend are happening on main event because somebody tweets about it. On October 20th, I was watching Dark, and I noticed there was a spot in the Wardlow match where the crowd really wanted him to powerbomb his opponent again. And he acted like he was going to do it, then he didn't. And in my mind, I was like, I wish he would have. And I even said, that's one of the things I would love for him to do. Give in to that crowd. Mm-hmm. And MJF's like, why do you care? Why do you care about these losers? Mm-hmm. Tonight, oh boy, did he give in to that crowd, Alex Pawlowski. Yeah. He powerbombed Wheeler Yuta. I think it was 83 times.
Wheeler Yuta, who I think just got cleared after he was dropped on his noggin by Moxley a few weeks ago.
Hell with that.
No, you're alive? Not anymore. That was great. And I was watching. I was like, man, Wardlow's got a lot of like babyface Lesnar in him. Mm-hmm. Like just this guy that, or babyface Braun, like guy that we just love to watch destroy people and things.
Yes.
And maybe he's not a baby face per se, but he is an implement of destruction. We want to see destroy things. And that's a fun thing for somebody to like, hell, 911 was that and only that and nothing else. Yes. And he was the most over thing in early ECW.
Well, besides the time that he and Tank Abbott pulled knives on each other in WCW. That was something. Robert, I thought this was good stuff. Wheeler Yuta doesn't need to win.
Wardlow did. Not Wardlow hasn't won on a Dynamite in a while, so Wardlow needed to win. I miss the Pinnacle together, and I'll talk more about that later, but that was my only gripe with this, is I miss all five of those guys together.
We're still getting super chats about the Bryan Danielson match in a match that nobody thought he was going to lose, and I love it. Miguel says, what if Danielson loses to Miro and then Okada debuts after the match and hits him with the Rainmaker? Okay, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of worse things.
What if? That sounds awesome.
What if the greatest thing ever were to happen?
What if?
It would be awesome.
And the wonderful situation of this is it's possible, but not really, because Okada is going to be at Battle in the Valley if he's going to be anywhere. So it's not possible. But just it's possible that this happens at some point, but he'll be in California on Saturday. That one true dude says, I know Fightful is having record profits, but I wouldn't mind if Tony got budget cut.
Listen, man, there's a thing. I've always said I want to be loved or hated. Nothing in between. So if you love the Tony D'Angelo thing, you want to see me do for 2 hours straight on Tuesdays, awesome. If you don't love it here, I'm sorry. When people pay money to request it, I got to do it.
Sorry. I was happy with that show breaking even, and now it's making money. So
look at that, too. I mean, it's been like 2 weeks, and people are already turning on Tony D'Angelo. Fickle.
Darren says Okada in Chicago in 2 weeks. Maybe I don't know what the New Japan schedule is like right now. Jambeard says Wheeler Yuta equals the Yamcha of AEW.
Ha! Yes.
Yeah. Nerd Guru says WWE said they're Marvel. As of now, AEW is far more similar, and they acknowledge and use the multiverse and make everything canon like Marvel.
WWE is Marvel doing animated films, and AEW is DC's animated films, and they're just crushing them.
There you go. We had Thunder Rosa, Ty Conti, Anna Jay defeating Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Rebel. one of my favorite spots in this was that, by the way, Yamcha. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Sorry. I read these super chats pretty fast, guys. I think you'll be all right. But the Thunder Rosa flying body press to the outside, she absolutely planted Jamie Hayter. Mm-hmm. This didn't need to be, this didn't need to be like the big Matt classic. We had a few of them already. This was to establish a win for the baby faces ahead of the Britt Baker match and Britt Baker to cower out and be like, not that important to me. Robert, I thought this was fine.
This was great. This served a great purpose. I just think to myself, when Ty Conti got released from WWE, I said with some friends, oh, well, she wasn't really doing anything there. You know, maybe she gave it a shot. Maybe wrestling's not for her. And then she shows up in AEW and she absolutely kills it. So good for her. I can't wait to see the match on Saturday. And this match is good.
Flim Flam Andrew says, what if more Thunder Rosa, though? Well, they found a way to shoehorn her onto the Saturday show, as they should, because she's going to get a big pop there. Alex, I like this match. I like them adding her to Saturday, because why not?
Oh, absolutely. I love the baby faces having matching gear, even though they're not really in a team aside from Ty J. But I love the crossbody as well. Jamie Hayter does a thing where she jumps into them. Yes. Like she just jumps into being crossbodied, so they always look way more impactful. I think that's awesome. But I really love the storytelling at the end where Ty Conti was like, I'm going to really hurt your friend, Britt. You want to come in here and stop me? And Britt's like, nah, I'm good. I'll see you at the Pape. I'll see you at the Pape, hon. And I thought that was awesome. Like, it was a really good way of like establishing that Ty Conti is a killer. And also that Britt Baker is either, you could interpret it, afraid of Ty Conti, as the announcer said it, or she's just being a clever, like a champ who's being cagey. And I think it's a really good storytelling device.
Also, people noting in the chat, which was pretty obvious, Thunder Rosa checking on on Jamie Hayter after that splat. This was good, effective stuff, I thought. We saw Chris Statlander and Ruby Soho promo package. I like that. I like that Ruby Soho is also in the, like, always breaking up fights.
Yes.
Like, when fights need broken up with men, they're like, get Ruby now! This happened with CM Punk and Eddie Kingston. Effective. Simple. They're in the parking lot. They want to fight each other, Alex.
Well, yeah. I mean, that promo video, that package, the vignette they did with Eddie cutting a promo and just like it was a perfect 2 minutes. Like it's nothing has ever sold me more on by itself on a pay-per-view match than that. Plus Eddie Kingston's amazing essay autobiography that came out yesterday. Like here's the thing that it just doesn't make any sense to me that like when you really think about it, this Punk and Eddie thing happened because Eddie was pissed he lost to Bryan Danielson, and then he interrupted Punk's interview time, and that was what, like 10 days ago? Mm-hmm. And it feels like this feud has been white hot for 15 years. Like that's what that promo battle they had last week did, and what that promo package they had last night did, and Eddie's heartfelt, this is who I am, this is why you should want me to beat CM Punk, who is universally beloved by the AEW fans. Like it is my match I am looking forward to the most on a card that features Miro and Danielson and a 3-year build to Hangman beating Kenny. I am looking forward to most Eddie Kingston getting his hands around the throat of CM Punk.
Nobody could.
Robert, people far too often forget that promo is short for promotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're promoting something, and far too often it just seems like, go through the motions. Here we go. Let's set it up for next week. They set up their pay-per-view match with one real promo.
Yeah.
They've had three segments, and two out of the three were about 30 seconds in length. And this feud works so well because it's two people who have a genuine beef, and Punk is like, I'm a different guy. That's 20 years ago. Why are you holding on to that? And Eddie Kingston's like, I don't care. I know the real you. You're a prick. And it just, it works. It works because you can feel it. And I can't wait for this match on Saturday.
We have a few super chats about this and a couple more that we'll get back to as well. Dr. Sick, or actually, that was for a different match. I gotta find the right section, but I'll pull this one up right now. Josh says, could you see Punk getting booed at Full Gear?
I don't know about getting booed. I think Eddie's going to be getting cheered.
Like, that's what Glennie asked. Do you think Eddie will be cheered over Punk? I think Punk is going to do some things in the match that will get booed. Yeah. I don't think he'll get booed as he comes out.
Oh, no. But they cheered Eddie over Danielson in that tournament match. People, especially now, that promo package from last night that I just tweeted out the video, got like 1,000 likes in like 8 hours. Like, and I don't have that many followers. Like, this is a thing that like was retweeted by a whole bunch of people, and it's gone viral. Plus that story, I don't know if you haven't read it, you need to read his little autobiography thing. It has to be done. Like, I don't think they can hold off on putting a title on him for much longer. He is that beloved by the fan base. He is so great at everything he does. The stuff he does, nobody else can. That promo, that thing he did with Punk in the ring, and then that promo video from last night, nobody else does that. He's unique in that way.
Eloquent says, seems like Ruby Soho is the only person that can keep Eddie and Punk from throwing hands.
But that's the important thing, because Ruby has a relationship with Eddie. They have a past together. That's why Eddie's getting a little out of hand. Get Ruby, because Ruby can calm him down.
Yes.
It works.
We also have Daniel Rothenberg saying, do you guys have the same thoughts on Punk as in Cole, where only 3 or 4 people should give him his first loss? Does Eddie Kingston count as big enough? I think it'd be a big win for him, but maybe it should go to a younger guy. They have convinced me in 10 days that if Eddie Kingston beats CM Punk, I'm completely fine with it, because CM Punk's going to be okay. And Eddie Kingston, okay, his booking in the ring is probably down here, but his promo always brings him right here. Punk is right here, and that will always, like, a win over Punk will, boy, that'll solidify Eddie. Eddie's going to wrestle for a few more years in AEW. Like, he's not slowing down. So
I don't think he beats him on Saturday, but I think at some point when Punk does go full heel, Eddie will be one of the main ones to beat him.
This is what I'm saying. This feud has gotten so crazy hot, lava hot, in 2 weeks without them really even trying. If Punk beats Eddie, let's say via some underhanded type mean, like means on Saturday, and later you have Punk maybe becomes champion down the line, and Eddie is the guy to dethrone Punk, like, that would be an amazing story you could tell with arcs along the way.
Brendan says, CM Punk likes Bret Hart, right? Well, I mean, who doesn't? Of course he does. Stone Cold match, double turnish vibes incoming.
It's too early for Punk to be a villain. But they have reminded you that, hey, we all love him now, but there was a time in his life where he was a prick. Even though he likes Bret, it's very Shawn Michaels-esque in that, yes, he's gone away. He's become a more happy and more fulfilled person, but there will always be those people who don't like him from the first time around.
Baco says, expecting Rotunda to show up in a few weeks. Any chance he'll appear soon, or is he out of wrestling for a bit? Go Cats, F Duke, sat making Kentucky proud. Thank you. That means a lot. And yes, absolutely, fuck Duke. But I think, this is my hunch, this isn't a report. I think he'll probably do the movie thing for a while. And I think that's probably best for him. I would, if I were him, I'd wait until a company has to have him, to where a company is in the position where they absolutely have to have a Bray Wyatt. They need a something like that to spice up what they've got. And I don't know that that's out there right now. When New Japan starts bringing people back over, I think he'd be a good fit there. Wait and see where the chips fall in, like, with ROH and all that. Wait to see what Impact's budget does. Maybe they offer you a too good to be true deal. I think that'd be best. Sean says, Okada's not in World Tag League. Maybe he's hanging out in the U.S. for a bit before Wrestle Kingdom. That'd be nice, but I doubt it. We've got Sean, another Sean, saying Dynamite makes Wednesday my favorite day of the week. Love this company so much, and your post show is like discussing a good movie with friends on the way home from the theater. Speaking of theaters, I'll be watching Full Gear at one. Should be a lot of fun. So I want to tackle both of those points. I love the idea of watching a wrestling pay-per-view at a theater. And I'll tell you guys what did it for me. When I was at Double or Nothing, and I was there with a bunch of media that are my friends, these are the people I talk to every day. Right. And we're watching the Stadium Stampede on screens together, it was a blast. Like, it was just as fun as watching it in the venue. And it was just so much fun to share that with a lot of people. And you're going to watch something that everybody else also wants to enjoy together. I think that's cool. Also, I love that this show is our most watched show of the week for a specific reason. Because for years, Alex, I know you would see it. Oh, you guys just want to shit on the show because it's good for your clicks and it's good for your views. No, it's actually not. Yeah. When good things happen, our views, our traffic, our interest is at the highest. We want to enjoy everything. I want WWE Monday Night Raw to be the hottest show every single week. And I want AEW Dynamite to be like, let's beat that. Let's beat that. That's what I want. Yeah. I want fun. WWE Mark, boy, this is telling. Best go home show ever. Wish WWE could do this. God damn.
There you go.
Whew. That one hit home. Shotkid29 says, sorry I'm a little behind, but I'm pretty sure I saw Wardlow power bombing Wheeler Yuta outside my window. You can still send super chats on things we passed up. That's fine. oh, god damn. Flow pro for show. Why are y'all going to do that to me? Why are you going to do that to me? I already stutter over my words as it is. But he says, just leaving the show, what a first-time experience. The Ruby Pop and the Dark match was amazing. AEW crowd and Indy was hungry for real pro wrestling. Robert, have you noticed that an awful lot lately, WWE and AEW have been running like the same market, like right back to back? Arthur Ashe and MSG, Indy and Indy, Long Island and Long Island, Norfolk and Norfolk, like within two or three weeks. That's pretty wild, right?
That is pretty wild. And in some cases, they're running the same venue, like in Long Island. And I think it's telling who likes the pro wrestling, who likes sports entertainment, because there's always going to be a market for WWE, but it's good that they have some legit competition.
As of right now, pro wrestling is selling tickets.
Yeah.
Yep. And sports entertainment is, even though the viewership's declining, it's drawing TV viewers.
Think about when you watch an episode of SmackDown or Raw, how much of it is just nothing? How much of it is just literally, like, I did a whole thing on Sour Graps about this. That women's match on Monday was great, but it took 18 minutes from the start, from when Becky came out to do commentary until the match started, and nothing happened but entrances in there. Nothing. Like, it was like I would rather watch amazing in-ring wrestling for most of the show rather than sit around and watch people talk for most of the show.
They could definitely shave some off there. And you know what? So can you when you use manscaped.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Oh my gosh, guys. You know what you don't want to look like? You don't want to look like Cody Rhodes in a pay-per-view match when you're trying to take care of your nutsack. And Manscaped has the ultimate gift for you. 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code FIGHTFUL at manscaped.com. Hair trimmers, ball trimmers, lawnmower 4.0 trimmers, waterproof, advanced skin-safe technology to reduce nicks and cuts, has a light to help you with your close shave. The Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer to help keep all that hair out of those delicate holes. It's got proprietary skin safe technology as well. It also has the Crop Preserver. That's deodorant for your nuts, and it prevents chafing. It's got Crop Reviver. That's a ball toner. Also, Crop Mop Ball Wipes. Oh, yeah. Not just that. If you want to smell good, that refined cologne by Manscaped. They're like, you know what? We're not just going to take care of your nuts. We're going to take care of all of you. They got foot duster. Do you got stinky ass feet? Well, Manscaped's got you covered there. They've got boxers. They've got shed travel bags. And you can get it for 20% off at Manscaped with the code FIGHTFUL. I'm telling you guys, this is a great gift. Whether it's serious or not, you get this for somebody, they're going to use it. It's great stuff. Legitimately, we all have Manscaped here. We have all used the product. It is wonderful. Makes me feel a lot safer, that much I tell you. Manscaped.com. Use the code FIGHTFUL. Also, hit them up at Manscaped on Twitter. Just say, you know what? I didn't even know about the concept of pubes until the FIGHTFUL podcast told us about them. And now I got rid of a whole mess of pubes. Thank you guys for supporting us. We got some super chats about that. Brendan says, well done, SRS, smooth segue. Not as smooth as your nuts are going to be, my friend.
Your in-laws will thank you.
Yeah, Glennie says, no in-laws mentioned in the Manscaped read, buddy. I had left that. I had not thought about that once since it happened, and I feel bad that we're talking about it now. I Love Me Some Sova says, SmackDown will be in Norfolk this Friday at the Scope and Dynamite next Wednesday at the Chartway Arena. I'm going to Dynamite, but not SmackDown.
I mean, that's telling. I will say SmackDown is the better of the two WWE shows because Raw is just Raw.
Reminder, get in your Humper Chats and your Super Chats. Greatly appreciated. Inner Circle come out, but ATT Attack beat that ass. We get some mic time. Fortunately for Sky and Ethan Page, who I'm set to interview on Friday. Very excited about that. Scorpio Sky drops a little line. Ethan Page says, not only are we going to win, we're going to make sure that Dan Lambert pins Chris Jericho. I like this. This sets up a hurdle for them. Mm-hmm. It's like when you're playing a video, you're playing SmackDown versus Raw, and you want to win with that particular move, but then you screw yourself out of the match showing off. I like that when they set Dan Lambert up for that powerbomb, that Dan Lambert like really sucked at it because he should suck at it. Yeah, of course. Alex.
Yeah.
He should suck at doing the Walls of Jericho.
Yes.
Of all the segments they've had, this is probably the one I was like, yeah, sure, the most.
Yeah. Here's one. Because there wasn't a specific ethnic group or gender or anything that was
there wasn't a woman who had admitted who has come forward about being gang raped.
Yeah,
being implied that a similar situation
would
occur. You know, like none of that.
No,
that's pretty nice.
Yeah,
and really, when you limit the mic time of Jericho and Lambert, and you say, here's Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky on the mic instead, segment gets a whole lot better because then you let Dan Lambert be cheeky and yell about Florida Championship Wrestling in 1975. And I actually laugh because it actually felt more entertaining than anything else they've done. And I think we're getting Filthy Tom helping American Top Team and helping Dan Lambert pin Chris Jericho. That's what I think.
He's going to give Raja.com the scoop. He said it today. Oh, guys, I encourage you. By the way, quick plug for a few interviews I've done. Switchblade Jay White, but one that went under the radar was EJ Nduka, the former Ezra Judge in NXT. We talked to him about ahead of MLW's War Chamber. But a couple weeks ago, I interviewed Tom Lawler. And this is before I got the scoop that his contract was up. And I put him on the spot. And he was very uncomfortable. And it's worth watching because he knew that I knew, but he wouldn't confirm it. And he still wouldn't confirm it. But I love that. Also, I got to say, Matt Hardy, like, tweeting from his seat during everything, but especially, like, during all this, I loved it. Like, if you all didn't check out Matt Hardy's timeline, it's amazing. It's him. I wish I could pull it up. It's his face, and in the background, it's Dan Lambert powerbombing the guy. It was amazing. It was such good stuff.
The funniest really part of this whole thing to me was Jericho's ridiculous bright red sneakers. Now, they didn't look ridiculous on Ortiz, but it's the same sneakers on Jericho. And yeah, it honestly looked like he walked up going, "How do you do, fellow sneakerheads?" Like, it's just like, it doesn't feel like authentically Chris Jericho at all.
Joel says, Raw would be much better if it was 2 hours. Yes, it would.
Yes.
When Raw first went to 3 hours, it's when they had an explosion of fantastic in-ring competitors. The Shield, the Usos, the Wyatt family. Alberto Del Rio was on top of his game back then. CM Punk and Bryan Danielson were around. So when they expanded to 3 hours, I was like, hell yeah, we're going to get some 15-minute matches. But boy, is that day is long gone. Long gone. Brian the Dean says, Jericho has to know that shtick is overstaying its welcome, right? You would hope so. A guy who has been as self-aware as him in his career, I would hope so. Zach says there will be no Lambert slander tonight. That segment was gold. It was. I loved it.
Yeah. You know what it was gold about? Was we were set to get Jericho and Hager probably on the microphone and just like a 6.5-minute promo and interview with Shivani in the ring, where it's just Jericho saying things that he really shouldn't be saying on the microphone. And instead, we had the American Top Team beat him up on the ramp, and all the fans were mad because they didn't get to sing all of Judas. It was great. I loved it.
Made a lot of sense. Eloquent says, Dan Lambert saving us from the cringe. Inner Circle promo, greater than sign. HL Mad Larkin says, Lambert yelling, it's called a Boston Crab. That was so good.
That was good.
That was so good. Brendan says, the women's match was really smart wrestling. Loved Ty talking mess to Britt. Little things, man, add so much. And I thought this was a really effective segment, the women's segment. Jam Beard says, Ty has the same feel as NXT babyface Bayley for me, and I love it. She's so easy to love and get behind. She's WWE's biggest miss in the last 2 years. Oh, they've got a lot, but she's one of them. She is one of the performance center's big misses, I think. We've got, so many more. We've got Shazarn saying, would love to see a Forbidden Door Kenta versus Punk versus Danhausen versus maybe Sammy in ownership of the GTS match. I think Danhausen would probably sit idly by and do this.
Yeah.
Danhausen showing up at an A&W drive-thru trying to get a job at AEW was the funniest thing I've seen on Twitter all week.
It was the funniest thing I saw until he posted a screenshot of the Gun Club's entrance and titled it Billy Ass and the Ass Boys. And then I think it was the younger gun, Austin Gunn, said, I am not an ass boy, to which Danhausen quote tweeted and said, that is simply not true. I asked him, who would you like to see join the Ass Boys? And Ethan Page chimed in and said, well, I would like to join myself and my tight tits. We can be called TNA. Brent Lockhart says, Punk and Kingston talking all the people into the building, inject it into my veins.
Yeah.
It was Colton that said he wasn't an ass boy. Thank you, Luis. Our moderator. This is why sometimes I need fact checked. Alicia says, if Punk versus Eddie starts with a lockup, I will cancel the pay-per-view, seriously. and there are some people that do still have to be talked into the venue, as the last Super Chat mentioned, because WrestleTix had posted, this is not a sellout yet. So, oh man, see, I thought we were like way ahead of like getting ahead on a one-hour show, but it's AEW. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
It just ain't happening, my friends. Jungle Boy Anthony Bowens. Boy, do I love Anthony Bowens getting these singles matches.
Yeah.
Play to the strengths, and that is Max Caster coming out and saying some wild shit and then leaving it to Anthony Bowens to back him up.
Yeah.
And I love it because Anthony Bowens is really good. Jungle Boy is incredible. This match was an excellent way to get Jungle Boy a win, to get the acclaimed on screen, to show everybody, hey, Anthony Bowens is really, really good. When Anthony Bowens finds that thing that Max Caster has, that when he finds that thing that that Danhausen found, that one thing, Swerve Scott found it. Like, you find that one little popping thing. Boy, is he going to be a big star. Jungle Boy gets the win. But Alex, I adored this match.
I loved it. It was a great match all around. But there were a couple of things that I loved in here that I really wish I saw more in wrestling, because there's certain things that guys do in every match. And not just like specifically one guy, but everybody does. Like, so many people do that thing where like they grab the fingers and then they run up the turnbuckle and do a springboard arm drag. And Jungle Boy tried it, and Bones is like, no, I know what you're doing. I'm going to stop that in its tracks and do something else. And then Jungle Boy was able to do it later because Bowens didn't have the counter ready for it. Also, where you run towards somebody and they like dip between the two middle ropes in the turnbuckle, and they get out there and they do like the kick to your face.
Yes.
Everybody does that. So it should be easy to spot when somebody does it. And Jungle Boy tried it, and Bowens grabbed him by the hair and said, you're not going to do this. I love that Bowens not only has Jungle Boy scouted, but has all of wrestling scouted, that everybody does this as a counter to this. Well, now change, I know to look for it. It was
change
great.
It up. There are so great. Many little things like that that I scream about how I want to see changed. Whenever I see people who are supposed to be elite wrestlers and they've got a chin lock slapped on them, and they're just sitting there like, oh my gosh, their hands aren't doing anything. There are no hooks in. They're not trying to sit out.
Yep.
One of the first things you're taught in a wrestling class is to sit out and turn into somebody. Whenever I see somebody shoulder block someone, their opponent lays on the ground and they run the opposite direction. Like, are you going to do a running like elbow drop to them? Like, what are you doing here? I love that type of stuff.
Yeah.
Zach Barber says J.E. is now Dino 2-1-0. I don't know what that means, Zach. I'm sorry. But he did pick up the win. Nerguru says, Bowens repping Nutley, New Jersey. Proud of him. He rules. I did a great feature on him a few years ago. Don't mind patting myself on the back for that one, because, man, people just sang his praises during when I was reaching out to them for that. That was a whole lot of fun getting to know him a little bit. So after this, we see Bobby Fish run out and attack Jungle Boy. And some stuff unfolds, but then backstage what we see is Adam Cole run into Bobby Fish. Now, it's not a secret now. Kyle O'Reilly's deal is up next month.
Yep.
And Bobby Fish, he's introduced to the Young Bucks, and Young Bucks are like, buddy, we know him. We've wrestled him.
We know who you are.
But we're cool with him, but they're not cool with him.
No.
They're not cool with him at all.
Yeah.
They are not cool with him whatsoever. And we've got some super chats about it. Danny says, Bobby Fish joining the Elite? Oh, no. I doubt it, buddy. I doubt it, my friends. I think we're more likely to see the Indisputed Era instead of him join the Elite.
There's like, here's the thing. The idea of, okay, so what do you do with Kenny? What if he's out of the top picture, if Hangman is the champion?
What do you do with Cole?
And what do you do
to
with
keep
Cole?
Him away from?
But you have this this really interesting thing of who is on whose side. If Kyle O'Reilly shows up, if down the line, maybe a month later, Kevin Steen were to show up, are we going to get Mount Rushmore? Are we going to get the Undisputed Era? Are we going to get Kenny and the Bucks? Are we going to get Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, Red Dragon together? But they both secretly hate Adam Cole. And so they team up with Kenny Omega, who hates Adam Cole. And all of a sudden, we got this awesome mishmash of guys who could, all their allegiances can change month after. It could be really interesting to keep all those guys at the forefront of AEW programming, but away from the top title. And that could be a really amazing non-title storyline we have with all of these guys interchanging of who's on top, who's facing each other. I love it. I love it so much.
Not only that, I mean, if Kyle O'Reilly pops up, they were the Undisputed Era. It was just them for like six
just
months.
Just them. Yeah, it was.
And Roderick Strong did sign a new deal earlier this year. What that means,
That doesn't mean
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it'd be a while before he could join. Nerd Guru says, for the love of God, someone in AEW gets Ruckus to do his own version of Shock the System for when Undisputed Era reunites. Hope WWE doesn't own that. I mean, they might own the trademark to that term. Kenshiro says, I wonder if a reunited Mount Rushmore might be looking to switch out some Bucks for some Dragons. Well, then it wouldn't be Mount Rushmore. It's just something else.
Yeah.
Which is also possible.
Sure.
Nacho Man Normie Summer says, can't watch live. Just wanted to show some love. Do you see Bobby Fish becoming the Click's enforcer? Stay cool, Gabagool. Nacho Man out. No, I think it's happening like I said, like we said there.
But the way he was introduced as, this is a guy who's not a made man. He's not part of the elite. Like in the mob, you have guys who aren't part of the actual mob, but they're contracted out to do the hits, because then it doesn't actually get traced back to the family.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a cool, that's what they set him up to do. You take out Jungle Boy on Friday. Well, not all the way out, because we want to still be able to get our licks in on Saturday. But like, he's not being welcomed into the elite. He's just doing a little wet work for him. And I think that's top notch.
We've got Phil Felice saying Kyle said all in during his promo yesterday. Lots of little nuggets going around like that. James Boris says the irrefutable epoch to AEW win. I'm not sure what that means.
The irrefutable epoch is just synonyms for Undisputed Era.
Jesus Christ.
I like irrefutable epoch. That's really good.
I run through these chats so fast that I'm like, okay. By the way, guys, keep sending them in. I appreciate it. Despite how dumb they make me look.
That's good.
Brent says Red Dragon must live again. I think they will.
Yeah.
I think they will.
They got the music. They got the music, man. It's right there.
I think right now, if Kyle O'Reilly had been booked at the top of NXT, he'd probably look at things and say, you know what? Maybe I'll hang around. But he's teaming with Von Wagner now. Which would you rather do? Team with Von Wagner, all due respect to him, on NXT 2.0, and probably get released at any given time.
Yeah.
Or
that's the thing. If you thought you had anything resembling job security, maybe it would be different. But you can't honestly think that. Unsusceptible saga.
Saga. Guys, please leave a thumbs up. I can't tell you how important it is to our show that you do that. Also, a quick rundown of the shows this week. We had Listen Your Boy today, The Distraction on Thursday. You can also check out their additional content at youtube.com/FightfulDistraction. Friday is the post AEW and Rampage show. TK Trinidad and Kate Hensler will be doing that show. Saturday, you get Grapsity in the afternoon. And if you want more William Washington, well, you're in luck. He's joining Jeremy Lambert that night. I'll also be streaming the scrum. But in the meantime, I've got a live Q&A on Fightful Select in the afternoon. We're going to be posting the Tony Khan scrum or the media call tomorrow. We'll be posting that scrum, Figure Hall on Friday. Alex is doing Sour Graps at some point. And whenever I get back, I'll be doing my own AEW full gear review on FightfulSelect.com. Oh, man. Sean's driver for this weekend says, in my opinion, this might have been the best AEW go-home show. Don't know if the Performance Center still has issues with people getting lockers, but I think O'Reilly's is going to be available soon. I don't think they got issues anymore, buddy. I don't.
A few of them opened up over the last year.
Yeah. By the way, guys, if you start a rumor in our chat that somebody's getting released or fired, you're going to be banned. That's the only warning. Don't speculate on shit like that. That's not fun. We don't want that. Rob Reed says the Elite versus Future Shock, inject it into my veins. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Dylan Bishop says you don't license Dance Away just for just Fish. You know, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
I think they had some ideas.
Yeah, like you guys are going to sit there and tell me that Adam Cole just decided 2 days before the pay-per-view that he was going to come in and they had that banger of a theme? Come on. There was some planning there. I don't buy that.
Although, did you see that thing that Mikey Ruckus was like the day of?
Yes.
For the Ghostbusters, and he's like, made it.
admittedly, I thought bullshit, and I reached, I searched, I looked into it, and they said no, not bullshit. And I just want to say, Mikey Ruckus is awesome. He's so talented. But I wanted to find out what the hell was supposed to happen. That's how I got that Squid Game scoop. Like, they were supposed to do Squid Game stuff, which they did end up doing for Being the Elite, but they couldn't get it cleared.
Yeah.
The syntax era. The uncontested time frame. Jambeard says, sending love and prayers for Jesse the Buckeye, who loved it when ROH's Quinn McKay ended a and loved it when ended a madman on Twitter this week.
Yeah.
Send your love to Jesse the Buckeye. We just adore her here. Yeah, she's wonderful, and she's having a rough time in the hospital. Send her some love.
Yes.
Brent Lockman says, it is Ruckus, though. He's great. He is great. For all that bullshit people were saying, get Jim Johnston. The man's like 70. No, don't get Jim Johnston.
Don't.
Get Mikey Ruckus.
Yeah.
He's doing great. He's doing awesome. Jambeard says, can we get Tony D singing the BTE theme song?
I mean, this is the thing I love doing on Tuesdays, because my boy Luis gets me the lyrics to things. I don't just have them in my head. So if anybody wants to send me the lyrics to that,
it's the elite. Well, and then it's Super Kick Party. Super Kick Party. Right, okay. That's it.
The elite. Super Kick Party. Gabagool. Have a nice day.
I'm walking here. The age of non-disputes. I'm sorry, I'm still going with Indisputed Era. I just like that. With two R's. Yeah. Two R's. Mm-hmm. Signed upon says, keep up the wonderful work. Love you all. Wish we could get Yano versus Orange Cassidy match in the future. We will. Sawyer sends a humper chat that says, I would have enjoyed the ATT Inner Circle segment if it was pro wrestlers I knew and cared about beating up instead of some MMA guys I can't even name. Can't wait for this story to be done. Now, all due respect, I know that you probably can't name them. A lot of casual MMA fans can. Andre Arlovsky, Junior Dos Santos, both UFC heavyweight champions. I get it. By the way, Ryan's power went out, guys. Or Robert's power went out, guys. Yikes. So that's why he hit the bricks. Just to keep you guys updated. Nerd Guru says, here's my pitch. Thunder Rosa beats Britt for the title at Revolution. The following Dynamite, she eats an out-of-nowhere eclipse from Athena. Well, Athena would need to win the Battle Royal, because that would just throw everything like for a loop there. I would be shocked if Athena doesn't come into AEW. Alex, on my Q&A for a year and a half.
Yes.
Every single time. And the question happened every week.
Every week.
Who would you put in AEW from WWE? Mm-hmm. Who would you put that would fit the best? Mm-hmm. It was always Ember Moon. It was always Ember Moon. She is a veteran. She is an untapped resource of experience. She can go in the ring, and AEW will have somebody talk for her, probably.
Yeah. Honestly, not a lot of women cut a lot of promos anyway. That's not a thing. Like in WWE, if you're going to, you have to come out and cut a promo, a 12-minute promo every week. They don't do that in AEW. Ty Conti doesn't cut promos all the time. Like, Ember would be able to come out there, have an amazing match, and then people would just get into her because of that.
Alex, you're going to want to check your DMs because you have another assignment. Luis is going to take care of you. But Zach says, I feel like having fun, Alex. Can we get Tony doing Adam Cole's new theme before the podcast ends?
Well, it's up to Luis.
Luis, but boy, Luis is a good hire.
Yeah,
good hire. Is. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Undeniable Chronicle, says Danny EMT. And Alicia says, what are the odds of Kyle O'Reilly staying versus leaving in your guys' opinion? I think 70-30 he leaves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Lima says, don't forget Bullet Club is waiting behind the forbidden door like sharks sensing blood, waiting for the elite to be weakened. Oh, that's true. I think that's when we see Gallows and Anderson pop back up too. Kings Road Wrestling just wanted to say hi. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Dustin Norton saying, well, I know Miro talked. That promo package was phenomenal. Like, do you think the show's over? We're not there yet. All we'll due respect.
It. We'll get to it.
So, Alex, what did you think of that Miro promo?
I loved it because I love Miro. I love that there's a through line for all of this. And I love that he's connecting certain things. Like, it's like, Brian, do you know my God? Like, that's just such an amazing thing to say. And it's like, it goes all the way around to like, I love, you say you came here to feel alive, but you have to know you are pushing a man who is holding a scythe. So he's gone from the Redeemer to the Reaper. And he says, yes. You must say goodbye to your wife so I can say hello to mine. And I just picture Brie and Lana sitting on a couch watching that segment and Brie looking over at Lana like, oh, that's how it is, huh? Like, I just think that there's such an amazing connection between them from before. They don't really have to bring up because everybody knows. And it's just so, so great. And all of these Miro vignettes over the past month have been amazing and really made him into such a deep and rich character. I love it.
And it takes 90 seconds. And he's over. He's over. 90 seconds. Simple, effective. He's over. Christopher Hart says, with Masvidal off the UFC card, do you think he interferes Saturday? Nope. I think the UFC would be pretty pissed if he pulled out of a major fight on pay-per-view due to injury or due to being sidelined or anything else and then did that. I think they would be very upset. Well, I was very happy seeing Lee Moriarty on Dynamite, teaming with Matt Sydal against Leo Rush and Dante Martin. And boy, Leo Rush's gear, I even like that. Drew Nicholas says, the Moriarty Sydal versus Leo Dante match made me feel pure happiness and epic. Reminded me of the first time I saw Ospreay and Ricochet in 2016 at BOSJ. Leo Rush is special, and AEW is lucky to have him. I'm going to tell a story I've told on this show before. I was at the first NXT tapings after the hurricane in 2017. It's actually on my honeymoon. And we were like, hell, they pushed back tapings a day. Let's go to it. And I saw Leo Rush against Velveteen Dream, and I had never seen Leo Rush work before. Mm. And he did this like simple cut. He turned, he ran, hit the ropes full speed, then redirected. And I just never saw anybody able to pull it off like that. And for all those dopes that are out there, yeah, I thought he retired. He's just going to retire again. Who gives a shit? If he wants to take 3 months off for a mental break, he can do that in AEW. He should be able to do that other places too. He's putting in great work, and Lee Moriarty stepped in and immediately showed that he belonged. and you got him and Dante, who's building this groundswell of support. This was just a glance into the future. Three guys that are the future, and Matt Sydal, who's just looking on like a proud father, like, yep.
That opening segment of this match, where it was Dante versus Lee Moriarty, just chain wrestling and countering and countering and kipping up and everywhere. It was just so great. And I love that that was over. And then Leo Rush tagged in because he wanted some of that. He wanted a little bit of Lee Moriarty. And Matt Sydal says, no, I want this. And Leo was genuinely upset because he wanted to wrestle Lee Moriarty. And I thought that was a really cool part of the story as well. And Leo is just the fastest dude I've ever seen. Like, I don't know what his 40 time is, but I know what his time across a wrestling ring is. And it's like that. It's blink and you'll miss it speed. Like, he's just amazing. I loved all of this. And he does that weird corkscrew, like spinning, unprettier thing that he did to Moriarty, which I feel like Moriarty didn't need to kick out of because that thing looked vicious. But yeah. I love that Dante got
I would have changed that. I wouldn't have had him kick out of that.
I love that Dante got the pin. I love how excited, genuinely happy and excited that Leo was that they won the match. Like, it really, I feel like they are building to Darius comes back.
Yes.
Dante's brother. And I have a friend who's watched AEW for months and is like really, really into it. And mm-hmm. I mentioned Darius Martin. He had no idea he existed. Mm-hmm. He didn't because he was injured before he started watching. And I was like, no, they were this amazing tag team called Top Flight and everything. But there's people don't even remember Darius Martin. And that can be his hook.
Yes.
Like, I'm happy for you, little bro. But people need to remember us and they need to remember me. And I don't know what you're doing with this Leo Rush guy. Get him out of here. And that triangle could be really, really cool to negotiate.
It's a natural story. You don't got to sell anybody on it because there's nothing to sell. It's that accentuating real life.
Yeah.
And then adding to it to make it better. Brent Lockman says the Moriarty chance melted my cold, dead heart. Buddy, when I saw him work, I think it was in person for the first time, I was like, I got to get this guy on an interview. And I was lucky to last year because I knew within a year he would be signed without a doubt. Brent Lockman says, Leo Rush has been around so long, I always forget he's 27, but I never forget how good he is. Incredible tag match. That's a great way of putting it.
Yeah.
Spicy says, need a Lee versus Dante match. Don't we all? That face-off?
Yeah.
They will refer to that in their future one-on-one match.
Of course they will.
They'll bring that up in a video package. We got somebody saying that Tony Khan came out and raised their hands during the commercial break after this match. Little things like that help, too.
Yeah.
Dr. Six Fingers Esquire says, I hope Kyle O'Reilly and Darius Martin watch tonight's show together, just commiserating and biding their time until they can join the fun. There's so much good possibility here. And like, a lot of people are like, they can't sign everybody. Oh, but you know what they can sign? The best workers in the world.
That's
the
true.
Most over people in the world. Yeah, they can. They can keep doing it. And that's going to keep stacking Dark and Elevation and Rampage. And pretty soon you won't be able to say, oh, well, I guess I can skip Rampage, or, oh, it's just a jobber show. You can't say that eventually.
It always feels like somebody will come out and I won't have what, because I don't get a chance to watch Dark and Elevation every week. I wish I had the time. I don't. As a dad, I just don't have that kind of time. Like, I'm with my kid all the time. But every week somebody will come out and they'll say 19-3 in his last 22 matches. And I won't have seen 2/3 of those matches, but I will immediately go, well, that guy's good because they told me what his record is. And then the match I'm watching on Dynamite immediately gets elevated. And I think it's great.
Spicy Specials says, as a black man, I hope a couple black kids saw that match and fell in love with Leo and Lee. Like, I fell in love with Booker T and The Rock as a kid.
Yeah,
I think that's a great point. And Eloquence says, black wrestling draws. Moriarty, Leo, and Dante showed out tonight. Leo might be the fastest guy in wrestling. He is unbelievably fast.
Yeah.
Rob Reed sends a humper chat about Miro, says they're going to try to murder each other and it's going to be glorious.
It so is.
Oh, it sure is. And Sawyer says 90 seconds, and not only is Miro over, but so is CJ Perry, formerly known as Lana, yep. who, by the way, doesn't have to be CJ based on what she says, Robert. She says I know that you were on that beat. She's like, I can use Lana. Do you think we see her Saturday?
I don't think we see her Saturday, but I think it's only a matter of time before she's around punishing Miro for failing her. And I think that that is the greatest arc across two promotions I've ever seen. This poor man has gone through so much just for the love of his wife.
HL Mad Larkin says both Darby and Leo move at light speed in the ring. I am salivating for that match. We also had a Darby Allin MJF vignette. Daniel R says MJF talks about the four pillars, but Hobbs, Moriarty, Dante, Leo Rush, and others have so much young talent. Well, I mean, I think that's more the pillars who started in AEW and all that, but the pillars have a lot more support now.
Yes,
I believe. I like the video package. That made a lot of sense. Rothenberg says, I know everyone wants Okada, but I want Ishii to come over and wrestle and to interrupt an MJF promo. I think it'd be great. Robert, what do you think about that?
I think MJF wouldn't want that, even though the man is a saint. He started this week's MLW by offering, apparently during a phone conversation with Holiday, to compete in War Chamber for them. And I think MJF is an absolute saint, but he's going to be busy on Saturday night.
That is an incredible shout, by the way. I like that an awful lot. Oh, boy. I'll tell you what else I liked an awful lot. Dax Harwood versus Pac.
This was
like a playground of violence, Robert. Like, Dax has been a tag team wrestler. He knows he's a great tag team wrestler. This shows he is a great singles wrestler. He's just a great wrestler. There were a couple spots in this match, by the way. Shocker to learn somebody bled in this match. There was an avalanche brainbuster from Pac. It was naughty.
Yeah.
Like, it was...
People don't need to be going through that, and yet they did. And Dax Harwood is so good. You want to compare him to AA? Fine. This is Arn Anderson, like, prime TV title run, proving he can just do it all. Dax Harwood is so good. Pac is the wrestler that everybody knew he was, and you forget sometimes because he's not always around, but whenever he is, he just makes you realize he's one of the best in the world. And this match is just proof that you don't always need a storyline, a feud. Sometimes you just need common threads and just magic. This was magic in a wrestling match.
Yeah. I love Dax Harwood, man. He's so damn good. Like, he's just an amazing old school wrestler. Everything feels when I say impactful, I mean, obviously it's impactful. He dropped on his head from 15 feet, but I mean, like, impactful, like, it moves the story of the match forward. Like him staggering to his feet, not really knowing where he was after that brainbuster, and getting drop kicked in the back in between the shoulder blades and just dying face down in the opposite corner. Like, that moved this story. Like, everything that he does is so great. And Pac is like one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, just personally. I thought this match was just like it was a candy store just for me that I got to be in, walking around Willy Wonka's chocolate factory going, I want this and this and this and this, and it was all delicious.
So Just Me Junie says Pac versus Dax was absolutely brutal. It almost made me feel uncomfortable. Truly one of my favorite matches ever. Dax means men's underwear here in Australia. Well, hot dog. I thought this was an unbelievable match. There are so many great matches that happen on Dynamite and happen in AEW in general, but this is one that will stick out to me for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
It's one of those matches that you don't cook up in your mind and say, oh, you know what? I need a Dax versus Pac singles match. And then you see it and it absolutely humps as hard as possible. Get in your humper chats at humperchat.com. Unbelievable work. Afterwards, by the way, Sean Blanford says, this is my first ever humper chat. Pac versus Dax was pay-per-view quality goodness. Do we think there will be any big name debuts at Full Gear? It was pay-per-view quality. There were multiple pay-per-view quality things in this match. The opening match was like, that's the beauty of it. It happens all the time. Any debuts you're expecting, Alex? I'm not personally.
No, as I said, I think this is one of those things that doesn't need it. Like the card is unbelievably stacked. And I think that as I said, the big spot to do a debut is at the end. And you don't want to ruin whatever that is with if we were doing Hangman and Kenny. If Kenny somehow wins, if that's the story you really want to tell, then having a major debut after that to like make the crowd go crazy would probably be the way to soften it. But I don't think they're going that direction.
Well, after this, we have Gang Wars. Josh Cardenas says, are you guys surprised no Cody match was announced? Well, I would be surprised because they did announce one.
They did.
Malakai Black and Andre El Idolo against Pac and Cody Rhodes. I would very much like for this to end in Pac beating the living shit out of Cody and joining the House of Black. That's what I want. Wow. These three guys who have such similar backgrounds coming from three different places on Earth, who all traveled through the same area and ended at the same destination. That's what I would very much like. Also, what the fuck was Cody doing? Was he stocking merchandise?
Why does he have to come through the crowd? Like, he's not a man. He's
pardon my language. I try not to drop the F-bomb, but was he unloading the merch? What was he
trolling us? He was grabbing a soda from the concessions. He was trolling us by having to be the man of the people who always enters through the crowd. Like I'm fine with this tag match as long as there's a promo. An interview backstage where they're interviewing them, and just Pac just grabs the microphone and says, "Listen here, neck tattoo, you stay out of my way out there." And like that's what I need to like make sure that Pac says, "I'm not associating myself with you. I just need to get my hands on those two guys, and this is the only way they'll let me do it, because I can't live in a world where Pac and Cody are friends. I just can't. Like it doesn't make any sense to me."
So Cody has a reality show, and even when he's not on the reality show, we've seen him regularly sitting at Gorilla. So why is it that when your friend needs you, you're for some reason up in the crowd? I guess you're, you know, hanging out with fans, maybe. I don't know, but this was very weird. I want to see the tag match. It should be very good, but I'm not into whatever Cody did tonight.
Understandable. Understandable. We do have some super chats and humper chats. You guys can still get them in. But Nerd Guru says Lee's uppercut is like Cesaro in speed and stiffness. Hey, buddy, I don't know about stiffness and Cesaro. Maybe he's using that blue chew. Luis Armand says Cody was trying to buy a hot dog like a real American. Sheeta fan says it's my birthday in a few minutes, so take my humper chats. Well, happy early birthday. And you know what? Thanks for celebrating it by giving us a humper chat.
Yeah.
We greatly appreciate it. Kat says, a Tony D. Miro buddy cop movie investigating the identity of Fuego 2 with William Regal as the police chief.
Well, I can't improv that all at once, sir.
This is why WWE Studios was made, but they haven't done anything good like that.
That sounds rad.
Yeah, let's do that. If you're asking me to do that for you right this very minute, I don't think I'm able to.
Well, we finished off this show with the Hangman Page Kenny Omega segment. And this was a contract signing. Hangman Page says, I now know last year that you were scared of me. You were afraid of lighting that fire underneath me. And Omega's like, no, I wasn't. And the beauty in what Omega said is it was rooted in truth. They did try to include him. They did try to do this. It was a destructive relationship on Hangman's part.
Yeah.
He got in his own head a lot. But as it went along, they were just assholes to him. Yeah. And this ends with Don Callis, who's been gone for 6 weeks, had people all day saying, what's up with Callis? They removed him from the graphic. Brilliant.
Yes.
Brilliant of AEW to remove him from the graphic.
Yep.
And then it ends with Omega signing the contract in Hangman's blood. Bob O'D. This is good stuff.
we almost got away with no Callis. I thought Callis was just going to quietly go away into the night. That would have been great. But this was a great segment. I thought I liked it a lot. I like the Ibushi reference. I like that Hangman says, you know, you've been where I've been, and now I'm going to be where you are. I like signing the contract in blood. This is a match that they have been building for years, and it's all going to pay off. And I think that's a wonderful story.
I was actually ready for it to end on the handshake. I thought that was a really cool way to do it. Like, I was like, I'm ready to see an actual who's the best man between these two guys. But no, we had to get Don Callis, who, by the way, he takes off his mask, and he has a fake goatee under the mask that nobody can see because he's wearing a mask. That's just hilarious.
That's good. Now, before all this happened, Hangman Page said, you know, you used to have another tag team partner that seemed to mean an awful lot to you, but then he outshined you. And he goes, maybe you've passed him, though. I love the Ibushi reference. And Mad Larkin says, Hangman bringing up Ibushi with some ice cold shit sent shivers down my spine. I mean, considering the nature of that, and there was a lot of questions about, like, what was the relationship? Was it more than tag team partners? They called themselves the Golden Lovers. There was a lot of, like, reference to that. And when you bring up somebody who is not just a tag team partner, but there's a personal connection with there, that's beyond a tag team partner. It's person I haven't referenced myself in quite some time, so it's got to be a sore subject. That's a great detail, in my opinion. El Rey Velez says, my first Humper chat is to say the ending of Dynamite humped. It certainly did. Yeah. And Evie Gray said, mark me a mark, but I was almost in tears watching it. Like, oh, my boys.
Wait until Saturday.
Yeah. When Dark Order is hoisting him up on their shoulders. Nerd Guru says, Dynamite, such a breeze to watch. Loved everything except Don Callis coming back. But I'm keeping the clock on O'Reilly's contract, UE versus the Elite. You mean EU versus the Elite, my friends. The Indisputed Era is coming. Raul Ortega says, it wouldn't let me hump. 2 years ago, people said Hangman is going to be force-fed and nobody wants him to be champ. Now we're so excited for him to win. Naturally, he should lose to build heat. Him being force-fed is a part of that journey, Alex.
Yeah.
It's a part of that journey. Yeah. I've said it time and time again. When he said he wanted the title, we said, we know. We know the drill. You're their boy. You're not one of them, but you're their boy. And as it turns out, they adjusted him. They went a different route. And if you tell, maybe you should tell another company, sometimes when you change course, you've got a good talent and you just change course, it can correct itself even if you wait 6 years to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. This was, I remember at the time the whole, like, well, who should win, Hangman or Jericho? And there are people like, well, it should be Hangman. Like, and I don't think it would have worked had Hangman won. It wasn't right. He wouldn't have gotten over the way that he has now. Like, they would have had to, like, say, well, like, how long was Jericho champ? There's no way the title reign would have never have lasted that long. And this, like, this is perfect. They've meticulously crafted this build to this guy to, like, becoming champ. It's going to be the most cathartic, unanimous expression of joy in wrestling fan history. Like, that's the way that it's actually built to this. Like, we're all know what's going to happen, and we still are going to react like it's a giant surprise. Like, it's all of our birthdays, and there's a bike and a pony in the front room when we walk down the stairs.
Jane Beard says, Don Callis pulled a Stone Cold when Stone Cold attacked Vince after Vince locked himself in the cage, fake beard and all. James says, controversial take, but maybe the Hangman story is AEW's version of Stone Cold Elevation, and it could be a similar turning point in the competition. Well, I mean, Stone Cold's, a lot of it was because he was forced out of the ring, and he wanted to compete, really, but he couldn't physically, and it felt like they were holding him back. The crowd was being prevented from getting what they wanted. Mike Lima says, this fight reminds me of CJ versus Omega and their violent pre-match press conference and brawl before Wrestle Kingdom 12. The Ibushi the blood, Robert, it makes it more personal.
Yeah, and it's just, that's what wrestling is for me, at least. I'm hoping this is a good, like, I could see them going 45 minutes. I could see them going an hour, quite frankly. And I think they'd keep your interest the whole way through because they are that good. This is that personal. I wonder if there's a part of the Bucks and even Cole that, like, celebrate with Hangman or show him respect because he is still their guy. They just went with the one that was more successful because Hangman was tearing himself apart.
Mike Lima says, the downfall of Kenny Omega and possibly the Elite will be must-watch pro wrestling, and it will be the thing that keeps Omega away from the title picture, as you mentioned earlier, Alex, which is good. Bring in fresh blood, do it differently.
Yeah.
James Boris says, I know I've said this a million times, but anytime Coda gets mentioned, it melts my blackened, shriveled heart. The reaction of Kenny's face was chef's kiss, ice cold from Hangman. It is elementary storytelling, but that's all I want. That's all I need.
Yep.
Just tell me the story. Brendan says, with all these New Japan references, I'm glad I picked now to jump into it. Buddy, you could have picked a lot better times to jump into New Japan than lately. I'll tell you that much. But he says, Hangman referring to Ibushi made Kenny's story even stronger. Yeah, New Japan is not what it used to be, but there's still story rooted in this. And Raul sort of wraps us up. You can get a couple more in if you guys want, guys, but we are wrapping up. Raul Ortega says, first go-home was criticized for not having enough wrestling. Feels like ages ago. Pay-per-view quality matches. This is awesome. On multiple matches. Order full gear. Well, buddy, I'm not, because I'm going to be there. I'll freaking be there. And Robert will be here working his ass off, and I appreciate you for it. Oscar says, kick out of the one-winged angel will be the culmination of the journey the moment Kenny realizes Hangman is his doom.
That's definitely going to happen.
Got to happen. It's got to happen. I'm with you, Oscar. And Alex, I believe you have some lyrics.
I do. I do. For you, Jack Schimmel. Here we go.
You know it's all about the boom, Adam Cole, baby. You know it's all about the boom. Yeah, yeah, baby. My name's like a torch in a tank full of propane. Bring heat, bring steam. I doused the whole place in gasoline, sky high, bomb tracked. I finally ruptured that jetpack. Everybody's bracing the impact. The rally car rolls. You fade black. No, I can't ignore. This is what you've waited for. Fire in the hole, and then we shot. You know it's all about the boom. Adam Cole, baby.
Now, Tony, most people in your circumstance don't actually admit that they're committing arson, but that's a wise choice on your part. So good for you.
Yep.
Just Be Junie says Broken Omega versus Okada. That sounds like a blast to me. And Johnny Scar says, was that Don Callis or Howie Mandel? You know what? I would like to see Don Callis doing like a Bobby's World rendition. I would like to see that in the future. Mark Losper says, gun to your head, each guy on Fightful, does Hangman kick out of the one-winged angel on Saturday? Yes.
Yeah.
He should. They may be protecting that forever, and if so, he just doesn't get put, just doesn't happen.
Yes. Same thing, Nerd Guru. Jeff says, enjoy AEW full gear, Sean. See you next week. I will, quotations or not, and I appreciate you. And I love me some Sova says, Alex is a national treasure. We must protect him at all costs. All costs. Brent Lockman says, standing freaking ovation. Well, I'll tell you how you can support him. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Watch Sour Graps twice a week. Tell them about it, Alex.
You can follow me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. I'm usually tweeting jokes about stuff.
Tweeting bullshit.
Bullshit that people don't like. I'm such a heel. But you can find me on the Fightful Select twice a week, talking Raw late night after the Sean and Denise. I'm gonna go live on Fightful Select talking Raw. This week
The SmackDown one is going to be different because I weaseled my way into the post Full Gear show. It's going to be me and Jeremy Lambert and Will Washington. It's going to be the distraction meets Grapsity meets Sour Graps in a three-way dance. It's going to be awesome.
Looking forward to the four-hour review there.
Jeremy won't allow it.
Yeah.
Jeremy's going to be fast.
Urs 18 says, super click ditch Kenny for Hangman, only to dump him for Steen. There's a lot that could unfold there. And I, with Kevin Owens possibly coming in, with Kyle O'Reilly possibly coming in.
Yeah.
That's another reason they don't need debuts on Saturday, because by February, you're going to have a whole slew of people you can debut.
Yeah. Robert, you're going to be here all weekend, Robert. And again, I want to thank you. And I want to thank Jeremy and Gisberto and Ryan Cook ahead of time, because you all put in an insane amount of work on these AEW weekends. But I guess tell them what I just said.
Yeah, look, I'm here all weekend, but I'm also all over the place on social media at Dude Felice. I'm going to be on Twitch in a little bit at Dude Felice on Twitch. I'll talk about the AEW segments. I didn't get to talk about on this show because my internet sucks. And yeah, we'll have some fun.
Show him some love, guys. We would greatly appreciate it. And like I said, get your Humper Chats in, whether we're on the air or not. You can send them in and we'll read them on the next show. Yep. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.